I have Klum in the room, and I'm going to play a track from their CD, Victory All My Life. Name of this track is Breathe Machine. Dig it. So during that song, I actually got all the information out of Klum that I needed. So we're just going to cut the interview short, and we're going to move on with some Polish klezmer music instead. Now, what am I looking at here? I have a room full of people that call themselves Klum. Why don't you introduce yourselves?
I'm Brock. I play guitar, sing, keyboard.
I'm Joe.
Yeah, thanks, Joe. Go ahead.
Sing and other effects and stuff.
My name's Travis, and I play the bass. That's about it.
I'm Aaron, and I just do what I'm told.
Andrew, drums, percussion, sex appeal.
Shaker.
Track 7 or 15, I'm not sure which one.
So how many people are in the band altogether?
5. Yeah.
You looked at me like you were asking me. Yeah,
you guys are looking around counting 5. Each other. Do I count as 1, or do I start at 1 when I point?
No, Joe, you only got 4.
We never actually told Joe he was in the band.
Yeah.
Right.
So I don't know if I
after all these years.
In the band.
Yeah.
So you guys are from Monrovia,
right?
Which normally when you're that close to L.A., you just say you're from L.A., so it must mean something. What's the significance of being from Monrovia?
Well,
it's just a lucky town. Produces
absolutely nothing. Yeah, it produces nothing, and hopefully.
Well, yeah, we've never heard of another band being from Monrovia.
It, me neither.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Oh. Africa.
Monrovia, Africa. Yeah. But do you guys play out there a lot, or do you usually come into?
We started there.
The
we
mainland.
Did.
Yeah, the first few shows we played there, but
yeah, right.
There's actually nowhere to play there now.
No.
Yeah. There's
except for parks and people's houses.
I think a park gig would be cool, though. I think. Do you think people would go to a park gig?
If we
well, they have
one?
Stuff at Central Park in New York all the time. Some people show up for that.
Have you been to Monrovia? We played a bunch of old people.
McCartney had an okay turnout, I guess, and then he played in Central Park. Well, do you guys want to go into a live track now?
Sure.
Perform something for us?
Sure, yeah.
Be My Monkeys, and then we'll come back and we'll chat a little bit about what you're all about.
All right.
You're listening to Klum on Is Good on killradio.org. If you have a question for us, you can go ahead and instant message us. The handle is Kill Radio Station on AOL Instant Messenger. In the meantime, go to myspace.com/Klum, K-L-U-M, and klumonline.com.
This is a song called Your Garden. 1, 2, 3.
There's a small house on the left side of your garden. I know it sounds crazy. Would you mind if I stay there for a while? I know you're uneasy. Can I touch your hair, your heart, or even your mind? Your mind, your mind. Oh. Now you're mine, you're mine, you're mine. Oh. And it's all my fault. I know when I'm wrong, I know I'm wrong. What did I do? What did I do to lose you? La 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 la. To lose you, another la la. And it's all my fault. I know when I'm wrong, I know I'm wrong. What did I do? What did I do to lose you? Oh my, to lose you.
Thank you, Klum, for coming in. That sounded awesome.
We're better than I thought we were. That's pretty good.
And actually, a special message for you from Belzebabe, who's just instant message saying, I love the drummer.
Oh.
She said, I love... Oh, okay.
Off of that song?
That's, yeah. I feel really good about that track, personally.
Andrew, you weren't playing
I really did innovative stuff on that thing.
Incredible. So, why Klum? Why not Bunchen or Romain Stamos? Or...
Are those bands?
We thought about doing an electronic band called Tony Dancer. It's pretty good. No, we were throwing names around for a while, but we don't really have an answer for why we're Klum.
That's the best answer.
Right, right.
You can make up something corny, but that's probably a better answer.
Yeah. There is a really hot supermodel out there, though, that uses the name.
Yeah.
And we can't get Klum.com because I think she owns it.
Yeah, she's really pretty.
Yeah.
So I met you guys at a thing called Couch Night. How did you get involved in that?
Mm. Graham, the manager from Trespassers William.
And Voyager 1.
And Voyager 1.
Two great bands.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Anyway, Matt Brown from Trespassers William engineered and produced our record, and he just kind of passed it on to Graham, and then I guess Graham liked what he heard, and he just, I don't know, he wanted us to play with him. So, thank you, Graham.
Yeah, thanks.
Couch was fun.
Yeah, that was a fun show.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, it was. Yes,
and
it was.
We met you, John.
Yes, and that worked out well for everyone involved. Tell me a little bit about some of the influences that there seem to be a lot of different flavors. It's not just traditional indie rock. There's some psychedelica and some folk and mixed in there. I mean, like, how do you guys sort of decide on a sound? Is it a collaborative project?
Oh, I think we just do whatever Creed's not doing. We just stick to our guns. No, like a lot of our influences don't really they don't really show up hugely in our music, I think.
Well, we don't think.
Yes, we don't think. But like lately, we've been getting tons of emails on MySpace for like people telling us we sound too much like Sigur Rós, and it's really strange because we sound nothing like them.
Well, I love Sigur Rós.
No, I love Sigur Rós.
I wish we sounded exactly like them.
Yeah, I wish we were them.
But we're them before we were us.
Right.
Does that make sense? No,
sure.
Not at all.
One of the coolest things about us is that we're like, people are always asking, what do you guys sound like who haven't been to our shows? And I can't really tell them, because I don't think we sound like anybody. I think we sound like Klum, which is totally cool, because it's like we're doing our own thing.
What do you think, John?
I agree that it's totally cool, but do you wonder if maybe that presents a certain challenge when you're looking to get signed and categorized and commercialized and corporatized?
I think we'll fit into indie rock pretty well.
I think we're doing something unique, which is, I think, what people are looking for. They don't want to go see the same band every night. So,
if we can avoid getting corporatized, that would probably be a good thing.
Yeah. Excellent. Tell me about this new album. What is this?
It's
Victory All My Life.
It's right. Our first album. it was really fun making it. I'm lying when
He's
I say
completely
that.
Lying. Completely. Yeah.
It was. It took a while.
It was fun in the studio.
It was really fun.
Yeah, with Matt. That was fun.
Yeah. But we,
except for day five,
it took us like a little over a year to make it.
Matt slept through half of the session in day five. I think we were doing the slow songs that day.
That was fun though.
Thanks, Matt.
And you have the rest of time you playing Grand Theft Auto.
Right.
Nice. And can people get this album
soon enough? Soon enough. Yeah.
It's in the middle of being pressed right now.
Right.
Is that right? Yeah.
Why don't we play another track from the CD? What do you recommend I play?
We'll do track eight.
Villains and Their Pets.
Right.
It's the name of this one.
All right. You're listening to Klum on Is Good on killradio.org. You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org, and my guest is Klum. During that track, we were talking a little bit about this whole idea of a MySpace band. What, in your estimation, is a MySpace band? What does that even mean?
I don't know. What is
You guys knew a minute ago.
Yeah, right. Wow, I don't know what actually makes a MySpace band. But
you hear it a lot, though. You're like, oh, there's this MySpace band. They're really cool. Is it just a band that simply promotes themselves through MySpace? Or is there something about the quality of the music that makes them a MySpace band?
Well, I know people are really prejudiced towards... I think when they hear a band off MySpace and they hear of them through MySpace, they're automatically like prejudiced slightly towards
them. Anybody can go on there
and
upload their music.
Yeah, and there's, you know,
there's
millions
no quality control.
Of bands. Is there literally over a million bands on MySpace? Okay. I think there are.
A lot of it, I think, is the emails.
I've had them all on my show. Eventually. A band a day for a million days. Sorry, you were saying.
What was I saying? Anyway, I think it's the emails that really get to people. Like
because people, the ad request thing, you know, bands just, they ask people to be their friend. And
I think it's because we're programmed to see things like that as solicitations, and you automatically shut down those kind of things.
Right.
You know, and in most cases, it's not like, you know, it's not like they check your profile out and they see, well, what kind of music do you listen to? They just send you an ad request and, you know, you're some metalhead from, you know, Baldwin Park, and you get an ad request from like some etheric indie rock band. You know what? You know what's the reason behind that? There's no reason for that. They're just trying to add friends, and
so it's like junk mail.
Yeah, basically, it's like getting those, you know, those penis enlargement things in your inbox. Not that I get those.
You get those?
Yeah, I think so.
Can you say penis on the air? Is that? Yeah, we haven't gone over like what can't I say on the air right now? Is there limitations?
You can't say Republican.
Republican. Okay. Ooh, shit.
I think we used that to our advantage when people were giving us a hard time, though, because we had one guy that, like, if we get really negative responses from people, we don't just let it go. Joe and I together will, like, team up. Sometimes Brock, we all get together and we start sending them, like, mass messages, like, how much they suck. We had one guy that eventually was like, all right, I'll come to your next show.
Yeah. And I ended up talking him into, after he said we were the worst band he's ever heard in his life. Is that what he said?
Yeah.
We're below shit. Is that what he said?
Yeah, but his favorite band was Oasis.
Yeah.
So, I don't know
that. But yeah, I ended up, you know, we ended up talking to the guy for a while, and I told the guy, you know, all the time you spent invested into talking to us, you know, I feel like you bought two albums already, you know. And he agreed with me, and he said, well, you know what, tell you what, I'll go to one of your shows. And then he said, if you guys suck, I'll shit in a bag and throw it at you.
Actually, he's going to throw it.
Yeah, I said shit like eight times.
Yeah, you did.
I'm sorry.
Don't worry about it. I think we're good. He said he was going to throw it at the drummer specifically.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's all
that's true.
I was having a bad week.
Yeah.
Well, you guys are a relatively new band, right? How long have you been playing together?
Well, we've been playing together for a while. We've been playing together, well, me, Brock, and Aaron have been 3 or 4 years, but...
These guys have been with us for like a year.
So what if anything?
Travis, two years. Yeah.
What if anything do you think would be sort of a legitimate negative response, other than the sort of knee jerk, your music sucks? Like, what are some things you think as a band you'd like to keep heading in a certain direction, like improve on?
Yeah, I don't mind negative response. I like them, and I tell everybody who sends a negative response, I really do appreciate it, because you listened, you know, and that's important. That's all I really wanted out of it. I mean, the worst responses we get are ones where people say,
like, lose your singer.
I don't know. But like,
those would be bad for you, in particular.
But ones where people like send a message saying, oh, I don't have time to listen. Like, okay, well, you know, you had time to write me a message, and you didn't have time to, you know, skip through my song and listen to it for 3 seconds, you know?
But there are really bad bands on MySpace.
We shouldn't say
names, but Joe knows a really bad band. Tell
please,
us about it.
Please
okay,
don't
this sounds
talk.
Like it's developing into a little bit of an interesting story.
Oh.
An anecdote, at
I
least?
I found this band last night that I thought was just basically depressed me. Because, I mean, I hadn't seen failure in a musical form, but I think I did.
Joe and I were up until like 2 a.m. talking to each other, like crying over this.
Yeah,
I lost sleep over it.
Literally, I can't even talk about it. It's going to depress me. But
Wait, let me cheer you up real quick. So I'm going to send an instant message. It says, hello, Klum. I have a question for Klum from Silvano of Monrovia.
Oh, okay.
I want to have Joe's baby.
He wants to have my baby?
And have Brock watch.
Silvano's really, like, he's cute.
Baby.
So that's a fan. That's a certified fan.
It's a good guy.
Thanks for writing in there. But please, finish your story, and then we'll go on to another live song.
Well, yeah, okay.
So what was it that really made this just a absolute, like,
well, it sounded
so
kind of like
it brought you down.
Okay, well, first off, it sounded like California Dreams theme song, basically. I can sing that song. If surf dudes with attitudes, kind of groovy, laid back tunes. Okay, that's good enough, right? But, yeah, and then, well, the thing that really stuck out to me was that he had this picture of himself where he superimposed himself in front of this gigantic crowd of, like, literally, like
it looked like Woodstock.
Yeah, it was like Woodstock. Like, there was like 80,000 people in the crowd. It wasn't like, you know,
and clearly him in his basement with like a light bulb right above
his
head.
Yeah, like a green screen behind him, and
what's
it's kind of fuzzy around his hands.
What's
and,
the biggest crowd you guys have played for, like, realistically?
A little over 100. No, yeah, I think well
think
over.
The Roxy?
I think well over. Yeah. I'm going to say
they
well
can't
over.
Hear him.
I think well over 100.
Well over 100, I guess. Yeah.
It's, that's not incredibly
impressive. Which in the right
impressive
space is, you know, that's a lot of people. Not Woodstock.
Well, yeah, it's, I mean, a 100-person show, I think, is fantastic. It's like, because it's slightly intimate, but
yeah,
there's a lot of people there to have a lot of energy, yeah. Like the couch, there wasn't, I mean, it's a small place, but it was packed. So
that was
interesting.
It
was really fun. Yeah, we had never played at a stage that small before.
Yeah, just with the drum setup, the place was packed. And
yeah.
Then there was also the band. And then
My drums are like a tool to hide the fact that I can't play the drums, though.
Yeah.
Because you notice that it's a massive, like, drum set,
but I can't
keep time. He has 27
piece drums.
At all. I just hide behind it.
Well, actually, I wanted to ask you about that. I mean, it is an unusually large and complicated drum set. I mean, at least from the bands that I've seen.
Yeah.
But that, I think, carries through on the album. I mean, there's a lot of... The drummer is very present in the music.
I would say thank you, but I'm not on the album except for one song.
Is that true?
Yeah, I recorded a shaker in Brock's garage for one of the songs called I Sing the Song Wrong, which is ironic because the shaker was off in the song. And
I fixed
had to
it.
Be, well, it was fixed. But
I fixed it.
Well, is there something that you do differently in this band as a drummer than you would in say, just a run-of-the-mill indie rock band?
I was in like a... Don't stare at me like that. That I would... I don't know.
Yeah, I pay.
I like the drums to have presence. Like, I think the first track that you played, Breathe Machine, is really cool because it starts off really, you know, light and you're kind of just relaxing and chilled with this organ music, and then it stops and the drums kick in, and I think that that's a big point in the song, and I think it's really cool that the drums aren't just there to, like, keep time, but they're actually adding something to the song.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's really easy. You could, you know, I could sit back there and just hit the drums on 2 and 4 and, you know, try and keep tempo and, you know, do what you're essentially there to do as a drummer, but the fact that you can really add something to it, and I've you know, I like to have stage presence, I guess, so I'm like all over the place when we're playing, and it's a lot of fun for me.
I
really am.
I don't see
well as much as I can by sitting
me
there
we're playing, so I don't know.
You can't tell because you're too busy dancing.
Yeah,
and
that's
and
true.
Then you're growling on the
I
floor.
I really like
set,
to dance
so.
While we're playing. But, like, I can't dance and, like, go to a club and dance. Like, there's something about it that I can't do it. But when we're playing, it's all great, you know? It's all fun.
Yeah, because you're in the zone.
I'm really literally enjoying it, enjoying dancing. Like, so if anybody would like to see me dance, you could see us play.
Let's go into definitely. A live song instead.
Oh, okay.
And, and then we'll follow it up with another track from the album so we can hear some drumming as well. You're listening to Klum on Is Good on killradio.org. And this is what they sound. What's the name of this song?
No, there's no name for this one.
No name. I'm sorry. I'm sorry to bring...
Yeah, this isn't off our record or anything.
Yeah. We just wrote this last night.
Awesome. This is the one that's going to end up on the compilation. No,
like a child.
I'm speechless. Holy hell in a handbasket. How much was that completely live? Were you recording those loops live?
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm sitting here doing, you know, working on the board, and I look back expecting to see the whole band, you know, like, I'm like, where did all those 10, where did the 10 singers and 4 more guitars come from? And then it's just you, and the other guys are just bobbing their head going, it's just looking at their watches, you know, like, tell me a little bit about that. Because that's some impressive shit that you just pulled that live, right? I mean, because I've had bands come in here and play off of an iPod and, you know, have loops prepared and everything like that. How'd you do that, man?
Joe's the effects king.
Well, yeah, you know, have you heard of Chris Angel or David Blaine? They don't reveal their secrets.
Joe's actually levitating right now.
It's just kind of looping, looper stuff. Mm-hmm. I love loop machines. Loop.
Yeah. It's the magic.
Stations, any kind of delay. I'm a pedal junkie. I really, if I had a lot of money, I would just buy pedals and guitars. Oh, my voice is cracked. Pedals. Pedals. I buy pedals all the time. I really would, though. Like, if I had a lot of money, I would buy music equipment all day long on eBay.
Mm-hmm. When you write a song that you know ahead of time is going to use a lot of looping, I mean, how does that change the way you write something?
Well, I know when I have a lot of, like, loop stuff I do, and a lot of it's just kind of created on the spot. It's just messing around and, you know, like, one of my looping songs I did, I played a riff from the end of one of my songs, and, like, I was playing it for my sister, and I just kind of looped and went along with it and created this, like, crazy loop, and I couldn't believe it, and my sister was there, and I looked over at her and I said, "Do you realize what I just played?"
And I noticed you adjusted the pitch, the octave of your voice. You did that mechanically.
Yeah, with this with this little button right here.
Do you ever, like, get really depressed and, like, get really drunk and close yourself
all
naked
the time
in a closet or something and just, like, loop your head, like,
yeah,
just
every
go
day
completely
every,
insane
every night. Usually around 3:30 through 5:30.
Someone comes in, they open the door, it's like you're standing there with a knife.
I'm naked,
and, like, your voice is bouncing
loops
off the walls.
Yeah,
Joe, not
usually,
again.
Yeah.
Told you not to do this.
Yeah, that's
with your balls and ice cream.
Yeah, that's pretty much every night of my life. That's, you're guaranteed to see something when you walk into my room at 3:30 in the morning. That's all I have to say.
And usually involves Sammy.
Yeah.
Well, look, why don't we play another track from the CD?
Oh, great.
What do you recommend?
I sing the song wrong?
Okay.
I sing the song
that's
wrong.
Fun.
Yeah, it's
track six.
Six, right.
Yeah, you can hear Andrew playing the shaker on this, right? Yeah.
You're listening to Clume on Is Good on killradio.org. So, ever been to a Turkish prison? Anyone?
Not lately.
What do you guys, we were talking a little bit during that song about what you guys do when you're not cluming it up. What,
well,
where you guys come from, each of you?
Andrew, go ahead.
How much time do you have?
Not very much.
Okay.
Because I do want to squeeze another live song.
Okay.
All right.
Well, I come from Seattle. I'm a comedian. I work at Starbucks. I also fly planes. I go to school full time. I'm a broadcast journalism major. I play drums in a band called Klume. I know karate, and I'm a professional hot air balloon pilot.
Next. Well done, by the way.
Aaron, Joe, and myself, like the way we met through doing sketch comedy.
We had a cable access show, actually, in Monrovia.
Yeah, it's a big hit.
And that's how we met, actually. The first time I met Aaron, I said hello, and then we did improv comedy.
Right.
So, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was in...
Like that?
Yeah, I had a blonde wig on, and it was awkward.
Yeah. It's kind of the brainchild of my older brother. Yeah, he's a funny guy. We had a show called The Tricksters, which was... It's pretty damn fun. We had a great time.
It was really fun.
But it
was a long time ago, like 10 years ago or something.
No, it's probably, what, I don't know.
Less than that?
Five, six
eight,
years ago?
Eight.
Anyway, so that's what we do.
Somewhere around there.
I work in retail. I don't do much.
Travis.
I met these guys, actually. I knew Aaron and Brock. We went to high school together, even though we didn't know it at the time. And then I was in the middle of pursuing a degree in geology when I met Aaron at a bar crying in his coffee about how they were missing a bass player, and I started jamming with him, and I gave up science because I lost all faith in it after I got too high up in it.
Was that? Gave up science because you lost faith in
science. Yeah. I lost faith in science because I decided that the more advanced you get in science, the more theoretical it gets, so it might as well be a religion at that point.
Because less concrete as
you
get more
evidence.
Yeah,
I mean, we were talking... Yeah, we were talking about like the age of the Earth at Coffee Bean and Tea Leaf a couple days ago, and about how, you know, it's all based on assumption. So, you know, why not God if not that? And I don't really have much stock in religion. So there you go. And now I play bass. Wow.
And I play bass.
Wow, that's deep. That was really deep. Yeah. Even if it wasn't deep, it sounded deep.
All these different backgrounds, though. I mean, your music isn't. I wouldn't describe it as comedic, though. What is the music about? There's more than one person writing these songs,
right.
Obviously. And yeah. So, how do you guys sort of come together and say, you know, this is what Klume is talking about?
I know personally. I have a thing where I feel like I can't really write about the good stuff in life because it's something I kind of hold on to personally, you know. And I guess the stuff on the more sad end or angry end, you need to get off your chest. So that's where art comes through.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. So,
yeah. Cause we're very, like, I think kind of jocular, you know, bubbly people. And when you meet us, but we're, you know, when we play music, it sounds like we're, you know, a bunch of depressed, sad guys, you know, and I think that's where we get our outlet for that. Cause I think we are a bunch of depressed, sad guys. On
yeah,
the inside.
There's a lot of that underneath the veneer of
and
being.
And that's common among comedians and performers in general.
Yeah,
though.
Yeah. Well,
cheers of a clown or whatever they say.
Something like that. Yeah.
Flooring with the eagles while running with the turkeys, something like that.
Well,
I think it goes.
One of my reasons is I never made the team. So.
Well, okay. Well, you guys want to prove it? How depressed you are?
Sure.
Go to another song. All right, cool.
Before I play the song, can I give an explanation about the song?
Yes.
Do we have time for that?
Yes, we have just enough time. Depends on how long your explanation is.
I'll try to cut it short then.
It's about God, so.
It is. It's about God. So I had this thought about God's head being our planet, and God was originally just like us, and he was just a really sad dude, and he tilted his head, which is why the Earth is on axis, and a little tear fell in his ear, and then trees grew out. And people grew out, and everything grew on his head, and it was kind of an idea about God not really intending to have us. I guess it's kind of a song about fathers and or parents that leave their children behind and didn't really intend to have you.
Like that.
Yeah, right.
If you called God dude, do you still capitalize it? That's what I want to know.
I think anytime you call God by anything, even if you call him Dude Lander or Jackass or whatever, it should be with a capital J if you're going to call him Jackass.
All right, we're going into dangerous territory in the internet world right now. Klume, the band that hates God. Liz on Is Good on killradio.org.
a tear dripped in my ear. And something grew right out from there. And I shouldn't have been laying on my side. And I shouldn't have been laying on my side. Perhaps you find I'm dead. The wars that you fought around me, I won't forget. But don't search for me, 'cause I didn't mean to create thee. And I shouldn't have been laying on my side. And I shouldn't. Search for me, 'cause I didn't mean to create thee.
And the award goes to Joe for shutting off the yellow mic.
By the way, yeah, the mic that was amping my amp.
I figured that out halfway through the song.
Amazing.
And yeah,
but it wasn't turned off before, so it must have been
something. I think maybe when I put it
in the thing. That's okay, we're gonna get another song for you guys before you go, because we have just about 10 minutes. So
cool.
I just want to let you know you have some more fans here. Toyman 04 says, hey, these guys rock, are they selling t-shirts? Do you guys have like merchandise and stuff on your
website? That's a great question.
Do you guys have merchandise?
We have little buttons.
Yeah?
Yeah, I like our buttons.
Our buttons are a big hit.
People want more info on that? They just go to...
The best way to get a hold of us is through MySpace.
Yeah,
we have a website, but...
Because you're a MySpace band.
No, no. Actually, when we finish our website, we want to...
Whoa, dude.
We want to direct people more towards our website after we finish building it.
It's
we
just
had
not
one originally,
up,
but we
why.
Had to redo the whole thing. I don't really want to... hang on to MySpace too much longer.
But
you know what I mean?
Well, of course we're going to be on there, though.
Sure, you will. You'll run it.
Yeah, I know. I do, anyway.
I think MySpace is kind of a necessity these days.
Even though
the term MySpace band can be viewed as derogatory, there's just too many people there and too many potential fans.
And MySpace is great. Like, as much as people dog on it.
It's such
a great tool of getting a hold of people and advertising and like... you know, running into old friends. It's a really great website. As much as I hate Tom and
I like the impersonal aspect of it, where it's like I can contact someone without actually getting their actual email address.
Yeah.
Even though it's ending up in their mailbox. Right. It's like I really have to wait. I can't just keep spamming them, you know, like I can just click on their picture and say I'm trying to contact you, you know, but without actually touching them or
We're having a lot more luck hitting up people that are new to MySpace, though, because the people that have been on there while are totally like bitter towards bands because they get 3,000 ad requests a day from people they don't even know.
Do you read your bulletins?
Occasionally, but like, you know, if you're looking for one,
we have like 2,000 friends.
Yeah, we have over 1,000 friends. So like it's literally
anyone that says
impossible.
Survey or quiz or anything like that, automatically destroyed, deleted.
Well, not on our site. We love everybody.
Except for that band we were talking about before.
Yeah, I'm not going to mention that band's name.
And we're also not going to mention that Coldplay's last record was a hunk of crap.
So I believe a gauntlet has been thrown down at this point. So Brock, Flores, hates Coldplay.
I really like,
and well, I love Richard Ashcroft, but his record, his new one, also.
Wait, let's talk about Coldplay and their decline. Because I don't know if I go so far as to call it crap, but I agree with you in the sense that it seems like they started out with something good that was original. And they realized hey, this works. Mm-hmm. People really respond to this. So then they try to recreate that. Now, how does Klum keep from doing that, from like making the same song over and over again?
Just don't give us money.
Don't ever give us money.
Keep us poor.
Seriously, do you think about that? About how into a sound?
For a while, we played, I think, kind of like the same sound. And then we started kind of experimenting and all, like drawing all our differences together. And I think that's what really makes bands great, is that, like, you know, is that everybody writes their own thing and like everybody has their different influences and it goes together and makes this, you know, cool thing. Cause I know when I make music on my own, like it's just kind of one dimensional. Like I can write a great song, but you know, without other people's influences, it's mm-hmm. only going to sound like me, you know, it's not going to sound like all sorts of different.
No matter how many times you loop your voice.
Yeah, yeah. It'll still, you know.
Breathe Machine, was our big breakthrough in, like, in the switching
way
it up.
Yeah, the way we write. And yeah. Like,
we spent so much time trying to, like, write that drum line and just piece it all together, I guess, because we had different pieces, but it was something we had to assemble, you know? Like, It was kind of a breakthrough for us, I guess, because we were just a guitar band before that.
Yeah, we kind of did
trying
like
to write like
rock
hooky,
songs
hooky,
and we
poppy tunes, I guess.
And yeah, and we kind of stayed to the same structures, but like, you know, it's great to just experiment with anything.
Did you just shut your mic off again?
No, I thought I may have. This button's just really like I'm trigger happy with this.
Can we get another song out of you? Can you treat us one more?
You know what?
Yeah,
I'd like to create a song right here on the spot.
Okay.
Let's write one. And I want you to get involved, John.
Okay, I'll see what
let's,
I can do.
Yeah, let's do that. And, okay. And I'll try not to turn
the
mic
off. Explain
to the
audience what it is we're going to do.
I'm going to do a little loop, uh-huh. And then we're going to pass around my mic.
We're going to pass the joint, and we're going to keep adding to the loop.
We're going
to
just, and everybody just does their little thing, and then and they'll make this little painting of a loop here.
Right.
Yeah.
And then
nervous,
are you guys
going
to like play guitar on top of that, or is it going to be just a vocal experiment?
We'll do
just vocals, right?
Right.
All right, let's give it a shot. You're listening to Klum. They're totally messing with my heads on Is Good on killradio.org. Let's see how this turns out. Thanks for listening.
Special. And take three crunchy tacos.
What is a gordita anyway?
bean burrito special. And I'll take three crunchy tacos.
What is a gordita anyway?
A bean burrito special. And I'll take three crunchy tacos. What is a gordita anyway? A bean burrito special. And I'll take three crunchy tacos. What is a gordita anyway? A bean burrito special. I'll take three crunchy tacos. What is a gordita anyway? A bean burrito special.
Thank you so much
for
bringing that experience to me. To all our listeners, that if 3-6 Mafia can win an Oscar, then we should be able. We got to send that shit out. That's great. Hey, Klum, thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you, John.
For performing.
You.
Also, we have a show tonight if people are interested at the Blue Bar. We're playing at the Blue Bar in Agoura Hills. We're playing with another band called Weather Ground. It's a great band. They go on at 9:15, so we'll. We'll be taking the stage about 10 o'clock, so people should come check it out. Should be fun. Yeah.
And everybody go to myspace.com/Klum, K-L-U-M, and later on they can check out klumonline.com as well.
Right. Mm-hmm.
All right, why don't we sign off with another track from your album?
Please.
Yeah. What do you recommend?
Seven? Let's go seven. Seven.
Seven.
It's called Victory All My Life.
Victory All My Life, the title track.
All right, you've been listening to Is Good on killradio.org, my guest has been Klum. Thanks for joining us.
Will. I won't be.